and 23. Jealousy in woman is unpardonable, but in man it is a sign of his faith in religion. Because Islam has permitted polygamy and prohibited polyandry. 124. I define Islam for you in a way that nobody dared do it before me. Islam means obedience to Allah. Obedience to Allah means having sincere faith in Him. Such a faith means to believe in His power. Belief in His power means recognizing and accepting His majesty. Acceptance of His majesty means fulfilling the obligations laid down by Him. And fulfillment of obligations means actions. Therefore, Islam does not mean mere faith, but faith plus deeds. 125. I wonder at the mentality of a miser. Fearing poverty, he takes to stinginess and thus hastily pushes himself headlong into a state of want and destitution. He madly desires plenty and ease, but throws it away without understanding. In this world, he, of his own free will, leads the life of a beggar, and in the next world, he will have to submit an account like the rich. I wonder at the arrogance of a haughty and vain person. Yesterday he was only a drop of semen, and tomorrow he will turn into a corpse. I wonder at the man who observes the universe created by Allah and doubts his being and existence. I wonder at the man who sees people dying around him, and yet he has forgotten his end. I wonder at the man who understands the marvels of genesis of creation and refuses to accept that he will be brought back to life again. I wonder at the man who takes great pains to decorate and to make comfortable this mortal habitat and totally forgets his permanent abode. 126. Whoever is not diligent in his work will suffer. Whoever has no share of Allah in his wealth and in his life, then there is no place for him in his realm. 127. Be very cautious of cold in the beginning of winter and welcome it at the close of the season, because cold season affects your bodies exactly as it affects the trees. In the early season, its severity makes them shrivel and shed their leaves, and at the end, it helps them to revive. 128. If you understand Allah's majesty, then you will not attach any importance to the creatures. 129. While returning from Sifan, Imam Ali passed along the cemetery of Kufa. Addressing the graves, he said, "O you who are lying in horrible and deserted houses, O you who are shut up in the dark graves, who are alone in their abodes, strangers to the places assigned to them, you have gone ahead and preceded us, while we are also following your steps and shall shortly join you. Do you know what has happened after you? Your houses and property was taken up by others. Your widows have remarried. This is what we can tell you of this world. Can you give us some news about things around you?" Saying this, Imam Ali turned to his companions and said, "If they are permitted to speak, they will inform you that the best provision for the next world is piety and virtue." 130. Imam Ali heard someone abusing and blaming the world and said to him, "O you who are blaming the world, who have been allured and enticed by it, and have been tempted by its false pretenses. You allowed yourself to be enamored of, to be captivated by it, and then you accuse and blame it. Have you any reason or right to accuse it and to call it a sinner and seducer? Or is the world not justified in calling you a wicked and knave and a sinning hypocrite? When did it make you lose your intelligence and reasoning? And how did it cheat you or make false pretenses to you? Did it conceal from you the fact of the ultimate end of everything that it holds, the fact of the sway of death, decay, and destruction in its domain? Did it keep you in the dark about the fate of your forefathers and their final abode under the earth? Did it keep the resting place of your mothers a secret from you? Do you not know that they have returned to dust? Many a times you must have attended the sick persons, and many of them you must have seen beyond the scope of medicine. Neither the science of healing, nor could your nursing and attendance, nor your prayers and weeping prolonged the span of their lives, and they died. You were anxious for them. You procured the best medical aid. You gathered famous physicians and provided best medicines for them. Death could not be held back, and life could not be prolonged. In this drama and in this tragedy, did the world not present you with a lesson and a moral? Certainly, this world is a house of truth for those who look into it carefully, an abode of peace and rest for those who understand its ways and moods, and it is the best working ground for those who want to procure rewards for life in the hereafter. It is a place of acquiring knowledge and wisdom for those who want to acquire them, a place of worship for the friends of Allah and for angels. It is the place where prophets received revelations of Allah. It is the place for virtuous people and saints to do good deeds and to be assigned with rewards for the same. Only in this world they could trade with Allah's favors and blessings, and only while living here they could barter their good deeds with his blessings and rewards. Where else could all this be done? Who are you to abuse the world when it has openly declared its mortality and mortality of everything connected with it, when it has given every one of its inhabitants to understand that all of them are to face death, when through its ways it has given them all an idea of calamities they have to face here, and through the sight of its temporary and fading pleasures it has given them glimpses of eternal pleasures of paradise and suggested them to wish and work for the same. If you study it properly, you will find that simply to warn and frighten you of the consequences of evil deeds and to persuade you towards good actions, every night it raises new hopes of peace and prosperity in you, and every morning it places new anxieties and new worries before you. Those who passed such lives and are ashamed of and repent the time so passed abuse this world. But there are people who will praise this world on the day of judgment, that it reminded them of the hereafter, and they took advantage of these reminders. It informed them of the effects of good deeds, and they made correct use of the information it advised them, and they were benefited by its advice. 131. An angel announces daily, birth of more human beings means so many more will die. Collection of more wealth means of much more will be destroyed. Erection of more buildings means so many more ruins will come. 132. This world is not a permanent place. It is a passage, a road on which you are passing. There are two kinds of people here. One is the kind of those who have sold their souls for eternal damnation. The other is of those who have purchased their souls and freed them from damnation. 133. A friend cannot be considered a friend unless he is tested on three occasions: in time of need, behind your back, and after your death. 134. Anyone who has been granted four attributes will not be deprived of their four effects. One who prays to Allah and implores to Him will not be deprived of granting of His prayers. One who repents of his thoughts and deeds will not be refused acceptance of the repentance. One who has atoned for his sins will not be debarred from salvation. And one who thanks Allah for the blessings and bounties will not be denied the increase in them. The truth of these facts is attested by the Holy Quran. As far as prayers are concerned, he says, "Pray to me and I shall accept your prayers." About repentance, he says, "Whoever has done a bad deed or has indulged in sin and then repents and asks for his forgiveness will find Allah most forgiving and merciful." About being thankful, he says, "If you are thankful for what you are given, I shall increase my bounties and blessings." About atonements of sin, he says, "Allah accepts the repentance of those who have ignorantly committed vice and then soon repented. Allah accepts such repentances. He is wise and omniscient." 135. Daily prayers are the best medium through which one can seek the nearness to Allah. Hajj is jihad, holy war, for every weak person. For everything that you own there is zakat, and zakat of your body is fasting. The jihad of a woman is to afford pleasant company to her husband. 136. If you want to pray to Allah for better means of subsistence, then first give something in charity. 137. When someone is sure of the returns, then he shows generosity. 138. Aid from Allah is in proportion to the trouble. 139. One who practices moderation and frugality will never be threatened with poverty. 140. One of the conveniences in life is to have less children. 141. Loving one another is half of wisdom. 142. Grief is half of old age. 143. Grant of patience from Allah is in proportion to the extent of calamity you are passing through. If you exhibit fretfulness, irritation, and despair in calamities, then your patience and your exertions are wasted. 144. Many persons get nothing out of their fasts but hunger and thirst. Many more get nothing out of their night prayers but exertions and sleepless nights. Wise and sagacious persons are praiseworthy, even if they do not fast and sleep during the nights. 145. Defend your faith in Allah with the help of charity. Protect your wealth with the aid of zakat. Let the prayers guard you from calamities and disasters. 146. Kumail bin Ziyad Nakhai says that once Imam Ali put his hand in his hand and took me to the graveyard. when he passed through it and left the city behind. He heaved a sigh and said, Kumar, these hearts are containers of the secrets of knowledge and wisdom. And the best container is the one which can hold the most, and what it holds, it can preserve and protect in the best way. Therefore, remember carefully what I am telling you. Remember that there are three kinds of people. One kind is of those learned people who are highly versed in the ethics of truth and philosophy of religion. Second is the kind of those who are acquiring the above knowledge. And the third is that class of people who are uneducated. They follow every pretender and accept every slogan. They have neither acquired any knowledge, nor have they secured any support of firm and rational convictions. Remember, Kumail, knowledge is better than wealth because it protects you while you have to guard wealth. It decreases if you keep on spending it. But the more you make use of knowledge, the more it increases. What you get through wealth disappears as soon as wealth disappears. But what you achieve through knowledge will remain even after you. O Kumail, knowledge is power, and it can command obedience. A man of knowledge during his lifetime can make people obey and follow him, and he is praised and venerated after his death. Remember that knowledge is a ruler and wealth is its subject. O Kumail, those who amass wealth, though alive, are dead to realities of life, and those who achieve knowledge will remain alive through their knowledge and wisdom even after their death. Though their faces may disappear from the community of living beings, yet their ideas, the knowledge which they had left behind, and their memory will remain in the minds of people. Kumail says that after this brief dissertation, Imam Ali pointed towards his chest and said, Look, Kumail, here I hold stores and treasures of knowledge. I wish I could find somebody to share it with me. Yes, I found a few, but one of them, though quite intelligent, was untrustworthy. He would sell his salvation to get hold of the world and its pleasures. He would make religion a pretense to grasp worldly power and wealth. He would make this blessing of Allah, knowledge, serve him to get supremacy and control over friends of Allah. And he would, through knowledge, exploit and suppress other human beings. The other person was such that he apparently obeyed truth and knowledge, yet his mind had not achieved the true light of religion. At the slightest ambiguity or doubt, he would get suspicious truth, mistrust religion, and would rush towards skepticism. So, neither of them was capable of acquiring the superior knowledge that I can impart. Besides these two, I find some other person. One of them is a slave of self and greedy for inordinate desires, which can easily drag him away from the path of religion. The other is an avaricious, grasping, and acquisitive miser who will risk his life to grasp and hold wealth. None of these two will be of any use to religion or man. Both of them resemble beasts having appetite for food. If sensible trustees of knowledge and wisdom totally disappear from human society, then both knowledge and wisdom will suffer severely, may bring harm to humanity, and may even die out. But this earth will never be without those persons who will prove the universality of truth as disclosed by Allah. They may be well-known persons, openly and fearlessly declaring the things revealed to them, or they may, under fear of harm, injury, or death, hide themselves from the public gaze and may carry on their mission privately, so that the reasons proving the reality of truth as preached by religion and as demonstrated by his prophet may not totally disappear. How many are they and where could they be found? I swear by Allah that they are very few in number, but their worth and their ranks before Allah are very high. Through them Allah preserves his guidance so that they, while departing, may hand over these truths to persons like themselves. The knowledge which they have acquired has made them see the realities and visualize the truth, and has instilled into them the spirit of faith and trust, the duties which were decreed as hard and unbearable by them. They feel happy in the company and association of things which frighten the ignorant and uneducated. They live in this world like everybody else, but their souls soar to the heights of divine eminence. They are media of Allah on this earth, and they invite people towards Him. How I love to meet them, O Kumail. I have told you all that I have to say. You can go back to your place whenever you like. 147. A man can be valued through his sayings. 148. One who does not realize his own value is condemned to utter failure. Every kind of complex, superiority or inferiority, is harmful to man. 149. Somebody requested Imam Ali to advise him how to lead a useful and sober life. Imam Ali thereupon advised him thus: do not be among those people who want to gain good returns without working hard for them, who have long hopes and keep on postponing repentance and penance, who talk like pious persons but run after vicious pleasures. Do not be among those who are not satisfied if they get more in life and are not content if their lot in the life's pleasures is less. They are never satisfied. Who never thank Allah for what they get and keep on constantly demanding increase in what is left with them. Who advise others to such good deeds that they themselves refrain from. Who appreciate good people but do not follow their ways of life. Who hate bad and vicious people but follow their ways of life. Who, on account of their excessive sins, hate death but do not give up the sinful ways of life. Who, if fallen ill, repent their ways of life and on regaining their health fearlessly readopt the same frivolous ways. Who get despondent and lose all hopes, but on gaining health become arrogant and careless. Who, if faced with misfortunes, dangers or afflictions, turn to Allah and keep on beseeching Him for relief, and when relieved or favored with comfort and ease, they are deceived by the comfortable conditions they found themselves in and forget Allah and forsake prayers. Whose minds are illumined by daydreams and forlorn hopes, and who abhor to face realities of life. Who fear for others the enormous repercussions of vices and sins, but for their own deeds expect very high rewards or very light disciplinary actions. Riches make such people arrogant, rebellious and wicked, and poverty makes them despondent and lethargic. If they have to work, they work lazily, and if they put up a demand, they do it stubbornly. Under the influence of inordinate cravings, they commit sins in quick successions and keep on postponing repentance. Calamities and adversities make them give up the distinguished characteristics of Muslims: patience, hope in future, and work for improvement of circumstances. They advise people with narrations of events and facts, but do not take any lesson from them. They are good at preachings, but bad at practice. Therefore, they always talk of lofty deeds, but their actions belie their words. They are keen to acquire temporal pleasures, but are careless and slow to achieve permanent divine benefits. They think good for themselves, the things which are actually injurious to them, and regard harmful the things which really benefit them. They are afraid of death, but waste their time and do not resort to good deeds before death overtakes them. They consider vices, which they regard as enormous sins for others, as minor shortcomings for themselves. Similarly, they attach great importance to their obedience to the orders of Allah and belittle similar actions in others. Therefore, they often criticize others and speak very highly of their own deeds. They are happy to spend their time in society of rich persons, wasting it in luxuries and vices, but are averse to employing it for useful purposes in company of the poor and pious people. They are quick and free to pass verdicts against others, but they never pass a verdict against their own vicious deeds. They force others to obey them, but they never obey Allah. They collect their duties carefully, but never pay the dues they owe. They are not afraid of Allah, but fear powerful men. 150. Everyone has an end. It may be pleasant or sorrowful. 151. Everyone who is born has to die, and once dead, he is as good as having not come into existence. 152. One who adopts patience will never be deprived of success, though it may take a long time to reach him. 153. One who assents or subscribes to the actions of a group or a party is as good as having committed the deed himself. A man who joins a sinful deed makes himself responsible for twofold punishments, one for doing the deed and the other for assenting and subscribing to it. 154. Accept promises of only those persons who can steadfastly adhere to their pledges. 155. You are ordained to recognize the Imams, the right successors of the Holy Prophet, and to obey them. 156. You have been shown, if you only care to see. You have been advised, if you care to take advantage of advice. You have been told, if you care to listen to good counsels. 157. Admonish your brother, comrade, by good deeds and kind regards, and ward off his evil by favoring him. 158. One who enters the places of evil repute has no right to complain against a man who speaks ill of him. 159. One who acquires power cannot avoid favoritism. 160. One who is willful and conceited will suffer losses and calamities, and one who seeks advice can secure advantages of many counsels.